afternoon. Today is Thursday, October the 25th, 299th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the California Highway Patrol Arcade Office, PIO. On his day off, coming on in, Chase Adams. Hey, guy.
How you doing?
Well, we're here and it's sunny outside. We got a ball game in an hour. It just kind of sounds like it's okay. If I could figure out how to get lunch into that equation, it'd be perfect. But not yet. Because we've got a show to do right here.
We have pressing business at hand.
That's right. We'll figure out what's pressing. Actually, we got a couple different areas. Child safety seats, that's something that is critical, certainly, this time of the year as we start getting into some of the funny weather. If the brakes are sliding, you don't want your kids sliding also, so we'll talk about that. We've got Halloween around the corner, daylight savings time, and what can and cannot be said and shared in press releases. Okay, the biggest thing isn't from a news perspective, it's from the consumer perspective or the folks out there. Why don't we share all the information about an event in a more timely and more detailed fashion? And we'll talk about that too. When will we come back?
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. I wish I knew who this guy was because it's a great quote. Billy Braver.
You got me.
The quote is so cool, and you can use this now at any time. You don't even have to give it attribution to the show.
Okay.
You ready?
Go ahead.
I was toilet trained at gunpoint. Isn't that a great quote? I was blank trained at gunpoint. You can use that now forever.
I'll have to, what was the gentleman's name?
Billy Braver.
I'll have to Google that later.
Yeah, see if it's real or if it's a made-up one, huh? I would imagine that you guys and gals going around, and just law enforcement, big picture, not even a specific department, one of the most frustrating things has got to be people suffering that didn't have to suffer.
Absolutely.
Big, broad, you bring it a little narrow with car seats. Kids not in car seats.
Seatbelts in general, but more
specifically. Okay, seatbelts, lap belts, okay, the texting thing and not paying attention. You know, if you're just paying attention, okay, going too fast, all those types of things. What's number one on your pecking order? What's the one that gets your goat going the most?
Lately I've seen a lot of texting and driving, which is something that is a conscious choice to completely divert your attention from the road. So that one's pretty blatant. It kind of is inexcusable in my book, and the law mirrors my opinion, I'd say. That's something that just needs to not happen. And then leading into our next topic, which is child safety seats, people either intentionally not restraining their kids, and then as a secondary topic, just improperly installing the car seats, not making sure it's right each time, and kids getting hurt.
Do you cut any slack for the people who, let's say the grandma and grandpa, who really isn't sure, because this is still before this didn't happen until after their kids were.
They're still trying to figure out the whole seatbelt thing.
Taking a shot at it, doing a fair effort.
Sure.
But just not having it in quite right, not having it in the kid properly. Efforts there, but it just didn't quite come to
right.
Pass.
Well, I would say across the board, I try to be, you know, speaking in an enforcement aspect, I try to be lenient if there's what I would consider a good faith effort to properly install the seat. And that's where the education comes in. At that point, it would be more of a, all right, let's take a minute here, show you how to do it properly. From this point forward, hopefully it will be installed in a proper manner.
Just even the direction of the seat, whether the kid is facing as you're traveling, well, forward, hopefully, or backwards.
Correct.
When does that switch-o happen, that turnover?
Generally, with the leading experts on the issue, which...
That would be yourself?
Well...
In this studio. It would be yourself, yeah.
I'll take that title. recommend 2 years or 30 pounds before you make that switch. But now, that's kind of a blanket statement due to the fact that, you know, there's some two-year-olds out there that are well over 30 pounds or tall, you know, long, lanky, no kids are the same. So basically the best practice, best fit for that kid. And that being said, there's the owner's manual in the car seats when you buy them. It gives a breakdown on all that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And most of the seats a good number of the seats being sold now, they range from, you can have a 5-pound kid, brand newborn, rear facing, and then to save money, and they're called convertible car seats, you can convert it facing frontways as soon as that child reaches that height and weight requirement.
Are those as safe?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
Okay. So the ones that grow with the kids are just as safe as...
Absolutely. They're well-built, well-engineered, almost overbuilt, some of them, and no particular brand to mention, just, you know, best one for the fit of your kid.
Based on body size.
Body size, height, weight.
Yeah, size of the head. That's a pretty good variable for the little guys,
isn't
it?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And speaking in terms of safety issues, age has nothing really to do with it. It's basically
mass,
weight.
Isn't it?
Mass, exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure your six-year-old, if they're a little growth stunted, aren't going to want to be rear-facing.
Yeah. When the kid starts talking and he sees the older brothers and sisters doing it differently, wanting to do that change. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like those goofy things that they put on your front, you know, the reverse backpack.
Yes, in the movie The Hangover, walking around Vegas with the...
Oh, could be, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
If it's not Disney or it's not animated Pixar, they don't know.
All right, fair enough.
But I was going to lament that our guys never fit in those kind of things.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Just boom, going right on by. KINS, News and Information Times... 319. Of course, now they're both over 6'8", so it really would look goofy now.
Yes.
We'll be back with more from Chase Adams.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Chase, the concept with car seats, I know that there's a lot of focus on it. There's a lot of attention. If those things rip free or improper, but the kid's still in there, is that better?
Well,
then the kid not being in there or sitting, let's say, in seat belts a little too small, a little too young?
Well, what we try and do is encourage best practices. If your vehicle's an older vehicle and not exactly configured for the newer model of car seats or the newer latch system or whatnot, there's fixes for that, and we encourage best practices. Now, what you can do is you can call the Humboldt Area CHP office, and we can do a free car seat inspection. And then there are also community car seat inspections scheduled periodically. Funny that you should mention that, because in fact, Humboldt County Department of Public Health is hosting such an event this Friday from 2 to 4:30.
You mean tomorrow?
Tomorrow, correct. The 26th of October, 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Target parking lot in Eureka.
Does this mean they have a chance to meet the Chase Adams?
You know what? Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it.
Oh.
I had other scheduling conflicts.
Oh.
there will be several well-qualified individuals there providing the free service of inspecting car seats, making
sure
it
would be the
safe.
Guy that used to be in your position.
You know what? I doubt that as well.
Yeah, good thing. Okay.
He's still quite in demand.
Oh, is he?
Throughout the community, yes, sir.
Oh, now I've even forgotten what my... Oh, my weird question.
Yes.
What if you drive a motorcycle? Can the little one... I mean, obviously, a car seat isn't going to make a lot of sense on a motorcycle. Can those kids who would qualify for a car seat, can they be on board a motorcycle, or is it just illegal for them unless you got the little sidecar thing and they put in there?
Trying to throw me a curveball.
I see
what's going on here.
I'm looking outside at the sun.
Yes.
Thinking, okay.
Beautiful motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you have a three-year-old.
Well, and that's
the way that I can best articulate that would be if the child is old enough to configure into a DOT approved helmet and safely, you know, ride, hang on, and the rear of the bike, that would probably be.
Is it on the back, or would it be better to have them sit in?
Always on
your lap?
The back. There's no legal motorcycles that configure to a passenger in front of the driver or the rider. So again, that's one of those best practice safety issues.
Fair enough. Speaking of safety, we've got Halloween coming up around the corner. Within a week.
Yep.
I guess that means candy prices are going to go up. Oh, well.
Yeah, get them for cheap and freeze them for next year.
Yeah.
Have slightly stale.
What do you
candy?
Mean next year, man? There's nothing better than a frozen candy bar.
There you go.
Do you guys do that?
Oh, absolutely. I just had a frozen Reese's Pieces Reese's Peanut Butter Cup yesterday.
Oh, well, that's a small size.
That was delicious.
No.
Oh, they sell everything king size now.
What's really cool, and Ange does this, it's the mint Oreo.
Oh, yeah.
Double.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One a day keeps the doctor away.
There you go. Got to keep your energy up.
But we do have Halloween coming up next week. I know that there's normal rules of thumb. What do you, are you guys, is that one of those special enforcement or maximum enforcement days for you folks, because I know you've got the relationships with the various cities, just to kind of have more police presence to keep the cars going slow?
During Halloween time, we usually patrol as normal. We will, obviously, depending on each officer, we'll assign to whatever the beat there is. As you said, there are most of the Halloween activity would happen in incorporated cities, but cities like, or towns, I should say, like McKinleyville, obviously they don't have a police force. We're responsible for traffic control and, traffic enforcement in that city, town. We will obviously...
You're releasing on the control issue, huh?
I'm being as ambiguous as possible. But what we do is we generally try and take extra concern, have a visual presence in the community, and... knock on wood, people are usually good about, because their kids are out there too. If they have to run an errand during trick-or-treat time,
go slow.
Go slow. Look for little black ghosts and goblins, dark-colored
costumes. That's the thing
else
that surprises me, is the amount of the dark costumes that still...
Darker the scarier.
Yeah, sure.
Just a bed sheet and some... Cut some eye holes and you got a perfect ghost costume, and it'll be white. So there you go.
So we'll have to be looking for little white bed sheets walking the neighborhood this year, huh? Is that what you're telling me?
As ghosts, correct.
Okay. Just as long as we have that clear, we know which ones get the big candy bars and which one
absolutely
get those small little Reese's peanut butter cups that are about dime size.
Just like two M&Ms.
Yeah, here, why don't you give these to your dad?
My catchphrase is always, if you're out at night, wear white.
There you go.
There
simple
you go.
Enough. There's all kinds of cheap comments off of that, but I won't go there. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Chase Adams.
Now enter the sunshine for Humboldt. The Ferndale Repertory Theater will soon begin another season. Between October and next July, they'll present 6 shows, a mixture of musicals, comedies, and drama. The season begins October 5th with In the Next Room, a comedy about a 19th century doctor and the women he treats. After that comes the tuneful Broadway hit Annie. Another great favorite, Hello Dolly, will be on the Ferndale stage next spring. Songs for a New World, a musical exploration of life's emotions, will play early next year. And the summer will feature Boeing Boeing, about an American living in Paris who juggles 3 fiancés, all of whom are airline flight attendants. The finale is Victor Victoria, about a down-on-her-luck singer who takes a role to play a woman playing a man who plays a woman. Sound confusing? It is, and it's hilarious. For information, see the Ferndale Rep's website, ferndalerep.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams, who is the Public Information Officer for the California Highway Patrol. Chase, daylight savings time is coming up before we see you again. Does that do anything really different for you guys other than having the extra hour one time of the year and one less hour another time? Do you see significant changes for the first 3 or 4 days after that happens?
Yeah, personally, I would say yes. One thing, you have to make sure your flashlight's charged a little bit better. It gets darker earlier. And the rush hour times, you know, between Arcata, Eureka, Eureka, Fortuna, they're actually happening the majority during the hours of darkness. So again, my canned answer is you probably got know well by this point is slow down, give yourself
wear rest. White,
wear
don't have, fright have, or have your, wait a minute, eat Snicker, no, eat Reese's.
There you go, frozen. Yes. keep your lights on. Make sure you give yourself check for little goblins running across the street, everything else. Slow down. Use safety. Keep your eyes up.
But the thing that is most surprising, I think, for me, of course, it's a little bit different in every neighborhood, is when I'm coming out here to the studios, traveling out park, the sun is now cresting over the hill yes. rather than the nice stuff that's going on right now. And it's right in your eyes. And I'm going at 7 o'clock, so mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about school kids.
Right.
But put a half hour on it.
Yes.
And now we're starting to see kids, and with the elementary school that's in the neighborhood here, that kind of stuff, reminding people, I guess, is the biggest thing.
Yep, and it's just another issue, another instance where you would make sure you're prepared for that. You know, have your whatever sunscreen devices you're going to use so you don't get, you know, obstructed completely by the sun.
Now, I had never thought of using suntan lotion to drive to work.
You'd have to have a pretty heavy application for that to do anything. You know, those. Yeah. Speaking of baseball, we're talking about the Giants game.
Yeah.
Go Giants. But you could get those eye black strips. That
yeah.
That might help.
Those things work?
I don't know.
They never did that in basketball, so I have no experience with those things at all.
Yeah. But anyway, shades, sun visors, make sure you're not driving blind. Because I've seen that before where somebody's driving blind, and at that point they're just guessing. If you have to pull over, you have to pull over. That common sense stuff,
you
guys.
Go slower. You use that little floppy thing down out of the ceiling.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Show a little patience, huh?
Absolutely.
The rush hour changes. Do you see people adjusting to weather conditions? We had a little bit of rain earlier this week. We had a little bit last week. Did you sense that people were going a little slower or not?
Oh, you know, we again, knock on wood, didn't have too many, at least on the beats that I was working, have too many rain-related collisions. And that goes back again to what I've maintained. I used to work in Los Angeles, and when it did rain heavy down there, you would see all kinds of nastiness on the highways.
But they're used to surfing down there, so... You know,
yeah.
Hydroplaning and surfing, it's kind of the same thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
That's the theory behind that, exactly. So, but they're not as used to it. They're more in a hurry, it seems like. There's a faster pace, possibly. And up here, people are used to the inclement weather. You know, six months at least out of the year, we're getting heavy rain through the area periodically. We all are from Humboldt. We all know. So a lot of people are better, at least from my personal experience. And this may be giving people too much credit, but are better at slowing down and keep it up. Slow it down.
When yeah, well, you've been reading again. You got all these lines now, huh? Or you just try to throw them at me?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean,
there
either way go. Works. And it makes
a little back and forth.
There you go. There you go. The oil buildup that happens on the roadways, unless you've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
In a stop situation, are there demonstrations, examples that you guys get seen with whatever the training tapes are or whatever you see personally the difference between stopping in the rain in November, stopping in the rain in March.
So we're getting
because of that buildup that's on the roadbed.
So we're now getting into the coefficient of friction.
Yep.
Okay. You know what?
Or the slippery factor, as we like to think of it around here.
Dumb it down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that I can cite scientifically or even really in my personal experience other than when I was about 18. It was September and we had an early rainstorm and I was taking a off-ramp that I took at the same speed as I normally would if it was raining, and I slipped off and hit the wheels on the curb, and I told my parents, man, it would never happen if it was in March. So I've used that as an excuse before.
So the rain gods were at fault, not your loving son.
Or the oil gods.
Well, yeah, I guess that would be more, what?
It was big oil's fault. Blame everything on
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But
they put it in the car, by golly.
Other than that, I can't really speak to the science behind it, but just drive slow if it's wet. Let's go with that.
Yeah, maybe. At the police academy, do you guys have to do like thesis papers or research papers? Is that part of the program at all?
You're giving us way too much credit.
Oh,
that's way above my pay grade.
I'm thinking maybe that would be a good something for a graduate at Humboldt, you know, as a senior paper or as a thesis.
Absolutely.
Just, yeah, intuitively, it makes sense.
Yes. Well, what we
and
do have to
most
do.
Most of us have experienced it, but if it hasn't been quantified yet.
Yes. But when you start talking about prospective police officers quantifying scientific theories, that was a mouthful for me even to get that out.
Well, I was really stunned at your coefficient of friction reference.
Yeah, I had to write that down.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that explains the flashcard. You were going to work it into the show.
Yes.
Somewhere. Okay. Yes. KINS, news and information time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Chase Adams.
Verizon Wireless is continuing to do some technical work on one of their towers in southern Humboldt. For the safety of the workers, Verizon has asked KEKA to reduce the operating power of the radio station through this Wednesday. At the 101.5 dial position, we will have reduced our broadcast power. 100.9 and 104.5 are unaffected by this work. When the project is completed, your Verizon Wireless will be enhanced in areas within southern Humboldt County. We appreciate your indulgence as we work with our neighbors to get this work accomplished in the easiest way we can. Thank you again for your patience.
Good afternoon, KINS, news and information time. It's 3:45. Still having a tough time with that digit. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Chase, some of the different questions, I suppose you guys get it as well as we get it. How come you don't have the results about this? How come you don't know what the earthquake magnitude was? How come you don't know why we don't have power? How come... Okay. You guys get it because of how come you're not releasing the names?
Sure.
How come you don't have the press release out sooner? Of course, that's our complaint. What is the normal protocol that you have to go through for, let's say, a non-fatal?
Okay.
So you don't have the notification of next of kin, that component.
Okay.
Anything else? What is the steps that go on? How quick is ideal for the information to be available? How quick is likely? You know, what are we looking at in that sequence?
Well, as my job description, my current detail I'm working right now is public information officer. So this is what I'm fairly new to it. I started in July. So these questions are questions
I've been... You're not going to throw what's-his-name under the bus or the motorcycle or the car, huh?
No,
okay,
I won't do
okay.
It.
Okay, well, just, you know, just yeah. In case he's still out there and is part of the fan club, just make sure.
Who knows? I don't know. He may be listening.
Oh.
So I'll be super nice.
Oh, you'll know pretty soon if he's listening.
Yeah, my phone will start buzzing.
Yeah.
But there are a certain number of factors that we have to consider before we release information on any given incident. Number one, like you said, we have to legally wait to next of kin is notified in a fatal situation. In an injury situation, a lot of times what we'll consider is the person that was transported a juvenile or an adult. We're not allowed to necessarily there's boxes we have to check before we have to release information pertaining to, you know, the age of the victim. And some of it is I have to gain, as I come in, I have to gain knowledge of the incident, talk to the investigating officer so I don't put wrong facts out. And then if I'm, you know, busy doing a radio interview or something like that, that may be slightly delayed. Hopefully not, but it's a possibility. And in addition, if it's a criminal investigation, there's a lot more factors that we have to consider. Will information released possibly, let's say, taint the jury pool, compromise the investigation, give people wrong or changing or unproven facts? And we definitely don't want to do that, because at a later time, a year or two down the road, when it goes to court, we don't want to have a bunch of newspaper articles and misinformation out there. So we're very we do have to be very, very careful, both legally and common sense stuff that we have to make
sure. Well, morally, you don't want to be doing that.
Exactly. I have to, and that's one thing that personally I look at. I don't want to make somebody's tragic situation with their family into a public spectacle. So, like
the situation out on Old Arcata Road. And correct. I know that wasn't your guys' jurisdiction. Wasn't that sheriff?
No, we actually handled
it. Oh, you guys were lead on that?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, until things are known.
Yeah, we know, can even have.
Now, the rumor mill on that one took off.
Oh, yeah.
And
we don't want to contribute to that rumor mill snowballing.
Right. Yeah, so you got to get some information out.
Exactly.
But maybe not necessarily 100%.
Exactly. Release what is known, what is releasable legally, what we can release without investigating, compromising the investigation. And then, you know, as the facts come out, as they will in the coming months, further information will be released directly from the investigating agencies, the DA's office, everything else.
Part of that, I would think, is really challenging for you, because there is a rumor mill.
There is.
And in a small town, everybody knows, and, you know, you're two, was it two things removed instead of six to know anybody?
Oh, yeah.
And pretty soon now it's starting to blow up on you.
Correct.
Rather than being a normal thing.
Correct. So in a high profile investigation, you're going to get people coming up to you and say, I heard this, is this correct? And you'll kind of know where that rumor is based, but it took so many different twists and turns on its own that you just have to shake your head at it.
Perhaps next month we can talk a little bit more about what that's some of the specifics that are discussable.
Sure.
I guess that's the word, discussable. Yeah. Oh, we'll figure it out.
Let's go with releasable.
There you go. What a pro. That's why he's doing his job. Thanks for coming by, Chase.
No problem.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.